Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to a new edition of Stardish Radio Live. It's so good to be back. We've been gone for a few months. Today is Friday, April 22nd, 2011. I am just jumping right into things today because we have a busy, busy night, busy, busy show, very jam-packed switchboard going on here, and I have to tell you, one of my favorite people on the planet is joining me tonight to sit and talk about what everybody's here about is the big bomb that was dropped on us about ABC canceling One Life to Live and All My Children. So without any further ado, I'm just going to bring the star right back on the phone with me, the beautiful Catherine Hickland. Hi, sweetheart. How are you?
Oh, I'm in. I haven't done this in a long time. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so happy to be doing this. I'm so happy to see so many people. Oh my gosh, I'm watching the chat board. I'm not in it, but I'm watching to see who's here.
Right.
I recognize a lot of these people, and now of course I recognize a lot of people from Twitter, and I'm so happy you're all here. And Richard Nongard, he's one of my colleagues in hypnosis, and I'm happy he's here. And then I see so many great people, and people I know, people I will know, hope to know, feel like I know.
It's been an amazing week.
It's
so personable, and it's very easy to get to know you, and you make everybody feel very comfortable. For you guys in the chat room that are having issues with sound, you're going to have to refresh your browsers. Like I posted in Twitter earlier, they were having some issues with the chat room earlier, but it's all back up and running. Sometimes you got to use Mozilla Firefox to get the best quality out of it. Don't ask me why. I'm not a tech person, but that's just the way it is. So just try refreshing. If you can't hear, this is the phone number, 347-945-5423, and you could call in and listen. So, Catherine, I have to say it's such a wonderful thing to be able to talk to you. I haven't talked to you in so long, but I hate that it's under this subject. Kat, you there? Oh, where did my girl go? Here we go.
Hello?
How did you get muted? I don't understand that. Okay. Well, you have to understand. Give me a little leeway, guys. I have a new switchboard. I never used it before, so I might have just hit the wrong button. But anyway.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay, good.
Loud and clear.
There you go.
So, again, it's just a sad thing that we're talking about this. You have been so outward and open on Twitter and with your blogs. Tell me about the second that you heard this happen.
Well, I actually knew that it was going to happen, and it was really remarkable because I was talking to people, that are on the shows, friends of mine, even executives. I was stunned when they were saying, no, it's not going to happen. The shows aren't being canceled, and I knew they were being canceled, and I felt sick. And even talking to, I was the one who actually told Michael Knight because he didn't know, and he called me to talk about something else, and we were talking, and I asked him if he was prepared for that news, and he said that he had just spoken to someone very, very high up that assured him that it was not going to happen. And I said, listen, it is going to happen. I think you need to just mentally prepare yourself for this because it's going to happen. And then sure enough, the very next day, I heard about it, and I called him, and he didn't know, because he wasn't at the meeting. So I was the one that actually told him, and a lot of people weren't able to go to the meeting because, the studio's far away where they are out there in Los Angeles, and so if you get a 15-minute warning, you're not there, then, you don't hear and then you're going to find out from the press or whatever else. And I thought that was, aside from the business end of it, which we'll go into and that sort of thing, because I want to calm people down somewhat on this hour, and not to give up, but to just, get a hold of their emotions, because we cannot let our emotions run us. And but I want to do that in a really smart way. But aside from the shock of it, I was angry and remain angry in a healthy way at the lack of respect for the people, for the crew, for the actors. And I don't know what the reason for that would be. I suffered that at my own hand when I was there, and I mean not at my hand, at their hand when I was there. But I'm pretty tough. I'm like an armadillo. I really don't. Not much gets to me. I'm in the mind management business, and I know how to do this, and so it's different for me because I can handle a great deal of stress and anger and stuff because I know how to channel that. But most people don't know how to do that. So my concern for everybody this week was that they don't make themselves sick with this. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it does. I've been seeing a lot of that with different decisions, you know, of maybe sponsors not supporting or, you know, not agreeing to pull out, or like with the Oprah video, and people are taking it extremely personal and very, very, they are letting their emotions get the best of them, you know, and it's not good because it's, you know, soap fans have a stigma to them already, you know, and to go off half-cocked and start, you know, calling people names and, you know, kind of acting kindergartenish, you're not helping the cause. You got to kind of look at it as a grown-up, you know what
yeah.
I mean? So
yeah.
I've seen that, and that worries me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is worrisome, only because it's hard to be productive when your emotions are just out of control and running away with you, and yet, you know, nobody teaches us how to manage our emotions. So,
right.
And that's what I, you know, part of what I do, and so I really did want to address that tonight. It's so funny because I don't cry very often because I'm sad. I don't cry because I'm angry. I cry because I'm happy. That's a funny little thing with me. Even when I lost my job, I didn't cry. I was just absolutely furious over the way it happened. And, you know, I'm writing a book right now, and it's so fun to write because it's like The Devil Wears Prada, but it's just so much more inside than, you know, you can imagine. And I address these things and how I felt and how I dealt with it. And I think that it's going to be good because what will happen is people will say, oh, wow, that was an amazing way to deal with that. But, you know, we have to deal with things for our very survival and our as Bob Woods used to say, our mental hygiene, which I loved.
Mm.
But the other day when, you know, someone sent me the video from Oprah, I was in the kitchen. I'm out at the ranch right now, and I was in the kitchen, and I played the tape and on the computer, and I put my head down and just cried my eyes out. I cried like I hadn't cried in years, and I let it go. I let it go, and I let it go until I stopped, and then I said, "Wow, what are you crying about? What is it that's making you so sad right now?" And just talking about it, I get a little choked up too, because, you know, I just feel what the people are feeling. I'm very connected to the viewers, to the fans. I've always been connected to them. I've always been out in the front lines with them for all those years that I was doing soaps, but especially on One Life to Live, because I was always out promoting, you know, my makeup company or my book or the show. You know, I was the person, I mean, I was one of the pioneers with everybody in the trenches at Super Soap Weekend. And so, you know, I've had a unique and unusual, very close relationship with the fans, and have, do, and will always, and no one can take that away from me. And so, you know, I didn't feel like I had a terrible loss, but the answer to my question about what was making me cry was I knew that so many people would lose heart, and I knew that so many people were going to just feel like they had the rug pulled out from under them, but no one ever promised us anything, you know, so it really was just such a win to even have her acknowledge us, that it was like, wow, you know, at the end of the day, oh, you know, she doesn't want to take it on, and that's okay. That's her prerogative. She obviously knows how to do things. It's just a choice. It doesn't make it right or wrong. But it was so incredible that she acknowledged this movement, because do you know how hard it's like getting an audience with the Pope to have Oprah notice what you're doing.
Exactly.
So when I pulled myself together, I mean, I just thought, God, the win here is that she knows the passion of these people. And I was so happy about that. And I just wanted to voice that to everybody, because I know everybody's really angry about so many things, and it's okay to be mad, but we have to be constructively angry and not tear down all the hard work that you've done. Because the point here is, are we going to get the shows back? Who knows? It's probably not going to happen. Probably not, unless somebody comes in and takes it. And that could happen. I am a believer. But that's not what we're all... That's the secondary thing. The first thing is getting our anger out at who we believe did the damage.
Right. Well, let me start with just you've been really proactive with your voicing your opinions, and Robin Strasser has also. So far, you two are really the only ones speaking your mind. Now, do you think some of these other actors aren't coming forward for fear, or they just...
Oh, yeah. You know, listen, they have a lot of time yet to do, and they could be fired. And, you know, they need their jobs like we all need our jobs. And, you know, they need to do that. I don't have any interest in going back to the show or even ever acting again. It's not on my radar. I do something else now. I love what I do. And, you know, I'm my own boss, and I love performing, and I love writing, and I no one has to say, yes, you can do this, for me to do it. So I'm very happy, because I'll be honest with you, the last years on the show, I had post-traumatic stress from my last years on the show, because it was so, you know, it was really hard. But I needed to be there, because I had a book to promote, and I needed to be there because... because of that sort of thing. And I loved that character. So I was happy to go back and do that. And I'll talk about more about how that happened. But I just really want to, you know, talk about the under the anger is so much love, and, you know, that from all of us, and that if we can all, you know, get that in under a place of positivity, if that makes sense to anybody, that would be great, because we don't have to stop. We just have to do it right, so that people aren't turned off. And let's face it, when's the last time that you really enjoyed being in a room with a super angry person?
Exactly.
So, you know, that's what I really want to talk about. And also, you know, take questions, because I want to laugh tonight, and I want to say happy Good Friday, and Easter's coming, and we'll all just put this down for the weekend, but let's have some laughs, and let's love, and let's do all this right now.
You got it. Well, the first person I'm going to bring on, because they have very limited time, will be Brandon from Texas. Brandon, welcome back to Stardish. Where are you, honey? I see this swirly thing going around, but it's just taking its time.
Damn the new switchboard.
You know, this is the first show I'm doing on this switchboard, so it's like...
That's all right. You'll figure it out. I did this for, a year and a half, and I had so many glitches,
right,
it wasn't even funny.
Yeah. That's right. All right, well, here, let me do this one then. Where are we? All right, we'll go to this one here.
Sorry, Brandon. We'll get back to you, buddy.
Yeah, no, definitely. Sophie from New York, area code 570.
Sophie, you there?
Oh, nope, because the switchboard crashed.
Oh, my God. Okay.
The switchboard just literally crashed. I mean, you know how that is.
I do. Well, we have a lot of people in here. I'm looking.
We do. There's a lot of people.
There's a lot of people in here.
Even bigger because, you know, for those that can't get into the chat room.
Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to work on the switchboard, and I'm going to start taking questions off the
chat.
Yeah, on the board. Any questions here? So guys, just fire away and I'll do that while she works on the board and we won't miss a beat.
Here we go.
Okay, I see Ryan's here. Ryan, he's my dream maker partner. Ryan and I are dream making partners. We have been doing some amazing stuff together. I just did a big hypnosis show for the high school where he's a teacher, and it was awesome. So, Ryan, I miss you. It's so, so good to see you in here. And he's right. He's saying do not boycott Hershey because there are so many people that work there, and we don't want to damage anybody. So I agree with that.
I'm sorry. Can I interject?
Oh, Navelle's there. Okay.
Oh, Navelle. Hello.
I actually have my switchboard up. My did not crash. So
okay.
I unfortunately cannot play this out in the best way that I wanted it to play out. But I wanted to bring on somebody for Catherine because I figured you might get a kick out of this. You might be surprised. I know some of these listeners right now are actually going to love this surprise. Allow me to introduce you the grand dame of One Life to Live. I love her to death. I loved her since I've seen her as Dorian Lord, folks. She's back on Stardish. Robin Strasser is on the line right now.
Oh,
how are you?
Party.
Kat, I thought I was supposed to do funny accents and fool you.
Hello. We met in Paris, and it's been a long time since we've talked.
I was ready also to, like, go, oh, wow, it's you, Kat. Love your makeup. Love your face. Love everything about you. But I'm supposed to be me. I'll try not to be boring. You're right. Let's look on the bright side. It's Easter weekend, and, you know, lots more can be risen.
Exactly. Oh, God, Bert, I miss you. It's so good to hear your voice. Oh,
I miss you, too. I read that article that you wrote. You are one smart, well-spoken woman. Thank you for writing that, okay?
You're welcome. It was my pleasure.
Okay. So, in the land of...
Welcome back, Robin.
Oh, thank you. Hi.
Hi.
Nice to be talking to you. I'm sorry, I got totally cat fixated.
That's okay.
Very hypnotic. Very hypnotic.
How's it going there? How's the mood over there? Can you say, or is it just too much?
You know, in my personal experience, it was so much that I started to shut down and go into a really dark place of feeling hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
And then the action button was pressed and I was out of there like I was in an ejector seat. And I may have gone too far out there, but it's irrelevant. It made the pain more bearable to take action. And that's just how I'm wired, Kat. You know that. We know each other personally.
Yeah.
The show has been dark, you know, because we're not taping. That's a showbiz expression.
Yeah.
When the show closes or there's a hiatus period, you say it's dark. I worked only one day the week the announcement was made. I was on a Tuesday, and the announcement was made the following Wednesday, and our executive producer called personally to talk to people who weren't on the show that day to tell them. It was a dark day. It was a dark day. I don't know, as who does, how it will play out, but it's very gratifying that the fans love us so much and are, you know, trying their very best to do what they can, but the point is their hearts are on their sleeves, right, Kat? This means
they
a lot
are.
To all of
and,
us.
And you know what? I'll tell you, their hearts are broken. And and you know, I have a, my book is about broken hearts and how to heal them, and even though it's in a relationship, it's really no different, because as I used an analogy and a metaphor before, is, you know, it was like being in a horrible marriage that wasn't working and being mentally abused, and, you know, that's how it felt. And so that's how it felt for me in my last 3 years there, and I just remember feeling, wow, I've got to pull my mental self together, because this could be very damaging. But when you have your heart broken by anything, there are stages in which things have to be healed, and the first thing you feel is intense sadness, which is what I think the audience feels, because they know that something that they have loved for years and years is coming to an end. Then that sadness overtook them so that they became very angry, because as we know, anger is an easier emotion to deal with, and it also makes us very proactive. We can use our anger for good, or we can use it for evil. So we want to make sure we just use this for good. But that is a good move, to go into anger, because the sadness will kill you. And then the anger will start to dissipate, too, because, you know, you will go into the next phase. So it's really no different than having your heart broken by a relationship. It's just that they're brokenhearted. But their outpouring and expression of their passion for this American institution has been so unbelievably much more huge than I could ever imagine. And for them to have been able to accomplish what they have is just incredible.
Balance and moderation are not my strong suits. And
I love that about you, though.
So may I just negotiate this little piece? Somewhere between grief and anger, or pain and anger, might there be a place for righteous indignation channeled towards right-thinking action?
Sure.
Because however one life to live and all my children are dealt with in the best of all possible worlds, who wouldn't like to see them picked up by a cable station or continue in some other way? Storytelling, scripted storytelling, written by professional writers, designed by professional designers, acted by trained actors, has a place. And I certainly hope, and I'm invested in that, it's a joy to see the young actors get cast in parts and how they grow and flourish. You know, daytime's like the training ground. And when that disappears, a whole opportunity for performers and audience disappears. You know, it's over.
Yeah, that's true. And it's so funny, because I get so much mail from people that, like me, I grew up and I knew what I wanted to do. When I was little, there were a couple things I wanted to do. One was, for sure, I wanted to grow up and be on a soap opera, because I just knew that I wanted to do that. And in my mind, that's the way it was. And when I was a teenager, I wanted to be a hypnotist. But the desire to be on a soap opera was much stronger. So I ended up, of course, manifesting that in my life. And you know, Robin, I mean, the first time that I came to One Life to Live, I always tell people, it was like I was such a fan of the show, and certainly of you and Hillary and all these great actors on the show. And I felt like a big fan that won a contest, and I got plunked down into the middle of Landview, and it was heaven. And it was heaven. And it was heaven, 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 until Daddy took the T-Bird away, meaning a certain someone, as known as you-know-who, showed up. And it was immediate that there was something wrong. I mean, immediate, and I don't mind saying that. But I'll tell you, for all those years of being able to work with you, and I'm just so grateful, you know, grateful to Jill Phelps and Pam Long, who brought me on, and then all the writers after that, and, you know, the writers that are there now that tried so hard to keep me, but, you know, they had their hands tied. They have to do what they're told, and that's it, you know. So I'm not angry about anything like that. But I feel for those fans because I am a fan. I too am a fan.
You add to that I also I learned everything I know about acting, and my whole frame of reference was formulated even before soaps as a kid, when you would have old classic movies on TV in the afternoon and the early evening.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I have the sound down, but it's a not very often watched Joan Crawford movie called Daisy Kenyon, with good reason. Catherine, she's wearing Peter Pan collars. Joan Crawford, Peter Pan collars. They do not go together.
I think we have that costume.
It is not a look. It's like they said, let's dress her like Claudette Colbert.
Hold on. Todd is asking me, what is the name of that movie, to see if he has the costume from it?
Daisy Kenyon.
Daisy Kenyon?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Nobody wants to look.
I just bought a signed Joan Crawford, George Harrell photograph. So.
Oh, yes. Yes. I have a Betty Davis one.
You see? We know what it's like to be a fan, right? It's crazy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Harrell was the most wonderful glamour photographer ever. So I want to ask a question, Kat. When you were a kid, what was your favorite soap opera?
Let's see. When I was a kid growing up, I think, the nanny put me down in front of the TV while she did the ironing. And, And so they were her stories, and I think that the one that was on then was, I think it was...
As the World Turns, Guiding Light.
It might
Secret
have been.
Secret Storm.
Yeah, it was the Secret Storm. That's exactly what it was. I couldn't think of it.
Oh, people loved Secret Storm.
They did. And then when I was a teenager, I started watching Days of Our Lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then As the World Turns, and The Doctors. Oh, my God. Then in the 80s, I went into The Doctors.
I was a young mother with Ryan's Hope. I mean, I loved Ryan's Hope so much. I was home with my second child, glued to that set. I never wanted to miss that show. I still have this thing about Eileen Kristen and Ryan's Hope. You know, she's my Delia.
Yes, I know. And then I started watching Another World. You were on it then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then that was my first soap, Another World.
I was a mere slip of a girl. And we're referencing ironing. Does anybody iron anymore? Of course not.
I think most people throw in the dryer.
Yeah.
They don't pull out
permanent press, baby. But there we go.
Yeah, and then I went into the CBS shows and the ABC shows,
yes.
And then when I was on Capital on CBS, which was my favorite show I ever did, I absolutely watched every single show because I wanted to know what people were doing, what people were wearing, what people's stories were. I was a maniac for that stuff. And, you know, when Gary Tomlin was our executive producer, it was so funny because Gary had been an actor. Then he became a writer, then he became a producer, and then he became our producer, and he was fantastic. He used to, you remember the live show and just all the...
He's a great guy.
Yeah, just a wonderful guy. But we used to, we butt heads a little bit, but never in a bad way, always in a good way, because, you know, we were always trying to one-up each other about how many years we'd been in the soap opera business. And honestly, I loved his vision, because when my first contract was up with him, and it almost didn't get re-signed, and at the end he pulled through in the 11th hour and just made it happen. And he said to me, the reason I'm doing this is because I'm not stupid. You bring more publicity to this show, because I was always doing the big talk shows, and you know, I did Rosie and Caroline Ray and Wayne Brady and all this stuff, and I was always out promoting.
Yeah.
And he recognized that, and I remember thinking, wow, I didn't even think about that. I'm just out doing what I do. But it is a huge part of what we do, is making people aware that this show's worth watching.
Absolutely.
So I was very appreciative of Gary Tomlin and all that he did for us. And And I know he's over at Days now, but I have not had a chance to watch shows in a while. But going back to my original statement, I watched everything because I was intensely interested in the genre and still am.
You know more about makeup, fashion, lighting, strength of intention than almost anybody I know.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
Well, you do.
The fashion, I don't think I know that much about, but I'll tell you what.
I've never seen you in anything that wasn't glorious, Kat. I don't want to call you a fibber on the radio, but you always look gorgeous.
Well,
you're
listen,
so
thank
well
you.
Put together. No, no, no. You're a very visual person. You're left and right brained.
Aww.
And the best, if I don't have my cat kit with me, I'm lost. I still. You know, I bought 12 of them at one time, and you know, I lose them quicker than I use them up, and I love those doggone things.
Thank you. Well, I have a new kit out right now, and it's called the Look 10 Years Younger in Less Than 5 Minutes kit, and it has been hugely successful, so we have to get you one of those. It's for no money. I mean, it is really awesome. It's just incredible. But I'm not here to promote myself. Why don't you stay on the line with me and let's take some questions if that board.
Great.
Is up.
Perfect.
Listen, it's up, and I'm just sitting back here listening to two of my favorites just dish it out. I'm in heaven. Are you kidding me? I am in heaven.
Okay, let's take some questions.
Yes, we will. Okay. Switchboard is back up, and Brandon, you're on the line.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
Brandon from Texas.
Can you hear me now?
I can so hear you now.
Hello, Miss Kitty Cat.
Hello, Mr. Brandon.
Hello, Miss Robin Strasser. How are you doing, my darling?
Hi, Brandon.
Listen, I have a comment and a question. My comment is actually to both of you guys. You know, I'm a blogger myself, Catherine, and when I sit down to write something, I always try to, you know, tell it like it is and play it like it lays. And I have to tell you something, your blog post from this week is truly inspiring. And, you know, they say that the truth hurts, but I say that, you know, the truth never hurt anybody who didn't deserve a little pain. So thank you very much for your sentiments.
You're
right
welcome.
On.
I don't think it caused anybody any pain. I think I don't even know if it was a wake-up call to behavior, you know. I mean, that's the way I look at it. Some of the greatest things that ever happened to me were wake-up calls to bad behavior.
You know, bet.
And making me say, oh, I sound like that? I make people feel like that? I need to stop doing that. And how can we stop doing that? By someone saying, hey, you're doing that. And it doesn't feel good, but you can make it a good, positive thing by acknowledging that you may be, you know, out of line in
Absolutely.
Your behavior. So I don't see it as a negative thing. I just was getting my thoughts and feelings out, my mental inklings, as it were.
So I'll tell you something, Catherine. You and Robin both talked about taking action, and I want to ask you if you would not mind retelling the story, because I know the story, but a lot of people may not, of how you actually got your job on One Life to Live. You took action, and you wrote a letter to the president of ABC Daytime, and I would like you to tell that story quickly if you could.
Wow. How did you know that?
I know things, my dear.
Yes, you do. All right, I'd be happy to tell that story, because I love if there's just anything I can ever say that would inspire people to take action, because thinking and dreaming and wanting is not enough, and you have to have an action plan. And when, let's see, I was on Loving and then The City, and when The City went off the air, I did not work for a year, which was really hard for me. I mean, I didn't work on television. I did Les Mis on the national tour. I recorded a Broadway CD. I did things, but I wasn't doing what I wanted to do, which back then was I wanted to be on a soap again. So, okay, we're really going to go bare bones here. So I had a 36 double D chest, which I didn't really count on, but when I was in Los Angeles and on many years before that, I went to a plastic surgeon because I wanted to get a breast lift. Well, the doctor, who is no longer here, he died from cancer, but he said, okay, well, you know, I can do this, but I can do it, you know, with an implant. And I'm like, well, I don't want that. And he said, no, it's just for a lift. Well, I went to sleep a 34C and I woke up a 36 double D. So in fact, he gave me the body of his dreams, which I was completely miserable in. All right. Hated it. No one ever looked me in the eyes again for 10 years. So here I am, I'm loving in the city, and I'm carrying this literal baggage of chest around with me. And after the city went off the air, I thought, you know, I'm going to get these out. I hate this. I hate the way I feel. I don't feel like me. And at the same time, I cut all my long hair off into a short, sassy bob. And, of course, Michael Knight, who I was married to at the time, was like, do you have to do everything at once? Everything? You took away the chest. You took away the long hair. I want hair on the pillow. I said, I'm sorry. But what I didn't realize was it just changed my entire look, and all of a sudden I decided that I was going to try to, you know, make something happen. So I heard One Life to Live was casting Tina Lord. They were going to cast Tina Lord on One Life to Live. And I had worked through, at that point, I think, two regimes. We had Dennis Swanson, who was in power when I got there, and then Pat Philly was there, and I was always really very well respected by the people that hired me, and I made sure that I had relationships with them that were sincere and authentic and real, and let them know how much I was grateful to have the job that I had. So Pat Philly and I had certainly known each other for a couple of years from me working on those other shows. So I sat down and wrote a letter, and here's where it's, I hope I will inspire people. If you want something, you have to make it known. And you don't just say, gee, I want. You say, you know, my desire is, and here's what I will bring to the table if this should be. Because what you're doing is saying, you know, I know you're busy and you have a lot of other things on your mind, and you may not know this, but I would really rock this job. And here's why I would rock the job. So you're not just asking, you're telling them what you're going to bring to the table. This does not have to be just show business. This can be any job, any business. And, you know, we take things personally because we think, gee, I haven't heard back from anybody, or, you know, they must not like me. And it's not that. People are very busy, especially executives. They have 100 things on their mind. They're not thinking about how they can promote Catherine Hicklin's career today. So I just wrote Pat Philly a very strong, very heartfelt, passionate letter about why I should be Tina Lord. And that no was a perfectly fine answer, but, you know, if she was going to audition people, I really wanted to have a hand in that, and I wanted to be given the chance. And it was a very good letter, I must say. And she called me. She picked up the phone and called me. And it was a handwritten letter, not an email, that I wrote her. And she called me and she said, I want you to know, I have never received such a great letter in my entire life or career. It was really well written, and I had to pick up the phone to call you. And I, of course, was very excited. And she said, but what I'm going to tell you is that if we bring Tina back, we are going to bring Andrea Evans back. That would be the whole point of bringing her back, because we want to bring a character back who the audience will want to see, you know, because she was very popular in that role. Being a business person myself, I totally got that. Totally, utterly got it. And I said, well, thank you for calling me. I really appreciate it. And she said, you know, if you don't mind, I'd like to send this letter over across the street, One Life to Live, to Jill Phelps, and to let her read it. I said, fine. So she did, and Jill and Pam Long, who was head writing the show, talked. They read that letter, they talked, and they decided that they were going to bring this character of Lindsay Rappaport, which I think was just one show. Yeah, it was one show. And I got a call at home, not from my agent, but straight from Jill Phelps, and she said, listen, you know, I know that you would like to have been Tina, but if we bring that character back, it's going to be Andrea, but we have this role that we've written, and it's a one-day part, but it's a great part, and she told me what it was. And, of course, you know, one thing we have to really be careful of is our ego, because we have a good ego and we have a bad ego. And the good ego is the one that says, yes, I can. Yes, I will. I can make this happen. The bad ego says, I'm better than somebody else. I'm more important than anybody else. That's the bad ego. That one's going to get us in trouble every time. This ego that says, I know more than anybody else, which is you-know-who's ego. So we aren't going to go there, because that's the ego that will take you down or take something down, which it has. And so I asked Jill if I could call her back, and I got off the phone, and my mind, my ego, my bad ego said, well, gosh, you know, I've starred on 3 soap operas for many years, and this is a one-day part. I don't know if I want to do that. And my good ego went, are you insane? You are an out-of-work actress who wants to get a job, and someone's offering you one. Pick up the phone, call her back, say thank you, you'd love to do the part. So my good ego wins, crushed the bad ego, and I went and called her back, and I did the part. And I was, my knees were shaking. It was scary that day, because I just felt like so much was on the line, and so I pulled it together. I went to my dressing room, and I said, wow, you know, just enjoy yourself. Just do your work. Stop thinking. Get out of your head and enjoy it. And the next thing you know, they call me back for another show, then a contract, and 11 awesome years. Well, almost 11 awesome. Almost awesome. Let's just say it this way. 8 or 7 awesome years, and then, you know, the next 5 years were so-so. But I really, really loved that story, because it was. I forgot about it. Thank you for reminding me. I hope
absolutely
people
it is a
are
great
inspired.
Thing.
Yeah, get, you know, be active and tell people what you're going to give them for what you're asking. Don't just say I want.
Damn right.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, you both are ferociously inspiring, and Joanne, welcome the hell back, my darling. It's good to have you back.
Oh, thank you so much, my dear.
Thank you, Brandon. It's good to hear your voice.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Okay.
Well, I have another caller here that I guess the two of you know, Robin and Kat. This is Needles.
Oh, my God. Needles, our stage manager.
Hey, guys.
Hello, Needles.
How are
Needle
you?
Needle person. Love you.
Well, I love you more. I love both of you more. You know, I'm sitting at home, and Howie gave me a call and, you know, said, click on your Facebook. And, of course, you know, the moron that I am, you know, computer savvy as I am, it probably took me about 15 minutes to figure out how to get to where we are. And but I'm here. And when I spoke to the gentleman who was kind enough to answer the phone, he said, you know, how did you get your name, Needles? And I'm, you know, and he was, does it have anything to do with drug usage? And
oh, dear.
No, it doesn't, but, you know, I had to explain what my last name was. Anyway, of course, I've been listening, and you know how I feel about you both. I love you both, and, you know, I just wanted to thank you because, you know, you both of you have provided me with a tremendous amount of great times in my life. You know, we all get everybody's a little melancholy the past, you know, few days, and you know, some of us won't get a chance to say thanks the way that we want to. And, you know, you guys have always been friends to me. And, you know, as everybody does, I mean, I feel really, really bad. I mean, I'm lucky that I'm going to get to see you, but there are others that won't. And, you know, maybe me saying something, I don't know if it kind of, I'm sure you're hearing great things from everybody, which you should, but, you know, I wanted to say thanks because we spent a lot of quality time together, and it was and is appreciated. It really is. I don't
Needles,
know what else to say.
Needles, can I briefly give them an idea of what it is you do at the show? Needles is our stage manager, and that means he wears a headset, and he's in the middle of all of the sets, whether it be Landview Hospital, police station, Lord Library, doesn't matter. Needles is running the show. That's the stage manager's job. and you get called down for your scenes, and the stage manager is the one who goes 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and you go into action. He's the one who, you know, tells you cut. He cues the atmosphere players to walk across the restaurant. And he's on his feet the whole day from 9:30 when we start taping until whenever it is we get finished. And Needles, your sense of humor has kept many of us energized who don't have a tenth of, you know, your energy, and we're working less time, but you bring more to the game than anyone. And he's a big Yankee fan. Oh, did I out you? Okay.
Oh, Needles. I so appreciate it, but, you know, it's like, you know, somebody asked me the other day, you know, they said, you know, we really, really appreciate working with you, mm-hmm. and, you know, you're good to, and I say, listen,
much better.
You know, in a small sentence, I say, if you appreciated me, I appreciate you guys four times more.
Well, we just really, you know, we spent more time with you than we did with our own families.
Well,
and,
yeah. Right, so you saw me not only grow up, but you saw me grow out as well.
And remember, Needles, remember the secret signal?
Absolutely. I remember the secret signal, Kat. I sure do. I saw a bit on that on Saturday Night Live a couple of weeks ago as well.
Okay, Kat, don't make me fight you over Needles. Needles and I have barbecued together on
Absolutely.
66th Street on July 4th in the days
yep.
when we had to work on holidays.
Oh, I yep.
remember. I ran to the market,
that.
Bought charcoals and
That's right.
hot dogs, and Needles was making the fire. And you know,
I'm telling
you. Toasting marshmallows and, you know. Oh, it was
What am I going to do without you guys? I mean,
what are we going to do without you? What are the fans going to do without their shows? I'm sorry. I think.
I know. I gotcha. I hear you. I agree exactly with that. And I'm happy to hear you, Needles, because, as you know, mm-hmm. I didn't know when I had my last day.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea that mm-hmm. it was my last day. And I never got to say goodbye to the crew. So I was gutted because, and I also felt real cheated, and here's why. Who was the one that used to give all of the goodbye parties when people left the show? Me, right?
Yes, that's right.
I spent thousands and thousands of dollars, and just alone on Ty Treadway because he came and went so many times.
Yes.
I mean, I spent thousands of dollars on goodbye parties at Blondie's for people.
That's
and,
right.
You know, remember we'd get a cake on the set.
Yes.
And then we'd all head over to Blondie's, and I would just pick up the check for the whole night. And, you know, it because to me, there is a when you leave a family, you need to there's a closure you need to have. And
well,
so I was livid over that because I thought after 17 years of being with the network that I don't get to have a moment with the crew I spent so many years with.
Yeah.
I was livid, and I still am, but in a healthy way. You know what I mean?
I don't blame you. I was saying to my wife, just, you know, we were driving home from somewhere, and, you know, I have never, ever known a paycheck in 40 years from somebody other than ABC. Whether I was management or, you know, for the last 19 years, I've been lucky enough to have been a stage manager on One Life to Live. But, you know, in some way, shape, or form, whether it was, you know, doing payrolls or, you know, I had various functions when I was in management, I've been associated with this show for 40 years. Whether it's, again, simply doing payrolls or assigning, you know, stage managers and support people, or I was a production coordinator and I was responsible for, you know, below-the-line budgets. But in some way, I've been associated with this show for 40 years, and I've never known a paycheck from anybody else other than ABC. It's going to be difficult, you know, for me, but I'll have to do what you say, you know what I mean? I'll have to do and take your advice and say, this is what my desire is,
mm-hmm.
okay? And here's what I can bring to the table.
That's right. And we
you know
all
I mean?
Can do this. Yeah.
You know, I have to have that, you know, that yes, I can attitude. So.
Yep.
Anyway,
I love that you are taking that away, you know, and that you called in and that I finally got a chance to say goodbye to you because I actually don't think I will be coming back to New York in time. You know, I'm not really sure.
Wouldn't it be nice if they busted you out of jail and got you out on good
behavior?
Oh,
Needles, that'll never happen now.
No.
Just no, don't even, like, think about that.
No.
Because
yeah,
no.
I'm being fitted for a gray uniform to join you, Catherine. They just sent me. Or
oh, no.
The infamous coma.
You know,
when they don't like you on One Life, you go into a coma.
I just wanted to say to all of there's thousands of people listening. I wanted to say to all of those people listening,
honey, I don't have anything for you.
I know all of
the
people
food.
Who are out there. I know these two wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people, Robin and Kat. And I'm going to tell you firsthand from getting the pleasure and privilege to work with these people every day. There aren't two human beings that are better than these people on the face of the earth.
Oh.
Okay?
Now I'm going to cry.
And all of you people out there really, really need to know what size hearts these people have. And I'm going to leave you with that. Guys, I was honored to speak with you. I don't want to take too much of your time. There's 1,000 people waiting to call. But I love you both. And, Robin, I know I'm going to see you next week. Kat, I hope to God I get the chance to see you soon, and we'll renew old acquaintances.
Yes, we will. And
love
and,
you guys both.
I love you too, Needles. Have a great night. God bless
Thank
your
you.
Whole
love
life.
You.
Needles.
Love you.
Needles.
Love you,
Needles.
Robin.
One, 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 one.
Bye-bye.
Needles.
Bye, darling.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Let me just say, from the fans, we appreciate all your hard work, and thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
But
thank
we don't
you
get to
much.
Say that to
thank
you guys.
You. Bye-bye.
So
thank
we
you.
Thank you.
I love you too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Oh, my God, this is like a little family reunion. I got goosebumps everywhere. Oh,
yeah, it's good.
Oh, well, let's get to some more fans because...
Okay, I'm ready.
So, so patient. Okay, area code 413. Oh, this is Silas.
You
Silas,
there?
You're on the air.
Am I here? I'm here.
You're on the air, Silas.
Joanne, first of all, thank you for coming back. Stardust Radio is an important part of the soap community. I applaud you. Thank you.
Oh,
it's nice to hear you.
You
back on the air.
Thanks,
Silas. Kat, before I get to you, I need to address Robin Strasser for a moment.
Okay.
I am going to silence her tonight. Ms. Strasser, as an 8-year-old boy with a deaf mother, I sat at my mother's knee and had to sign language to her that Rachel was pregnant with Steve Frame's baby. All through the years, from the earliest memory I've had of soap opera, Robin Strasser was a pivotal actor in my mind. My mother looked at you as one of the great daytime actors because very few of you enunciated your words so well that she could read your lips. And the emotion that you put forth in your face and in your body language resonated with her. So on behalf of the hearing-impaired community, I thank you for your brilliant acting.
Oh, thank you so much.
I knew I'd shut her up.
You all right over there, Robin?
Awesome, yeah. Yeah, I'm very touched. That means a lot. Thank you.
Ms. Strasser, tonight you have brought this whole thing full circle for me as from an 8-year-old kid who sign language the soaps to this fight that we're having to revive a genre. Tonight you brought it full circle, and it's so appropriate on Good Friday, a weekend of renewal and redemption, that it's at, we're at this point. And I thank you for being here tonight. I really
oh,
do.
Thank you.
You don't know how much. You don't know how wonderful it is to be able to say thank you to you after all these years. Anyway,
thank you.
And I'll tell you, I conveyed to Victoria Windham and Charles Keating that they were the only other two actors from another world besides you that my mother understood fully. So, but anyway, Catherine,
yeah.
My love, my business guru, my genius, bravo on your blog, bravo on your honesty. What I have to ask you is, don't you think there is hope for the genre if we come up with a business model that fits today's paradigm?
Yes, but you know, one thing I think I couldn't sleep last night, and my mind was just, you know, running. And I remember I was trying to, you know, after listening to Oprah's tape, I remember thinking, okay, well, let's see, you know, she made a point about if there was a dime left to be made, you know, and in my mind, and then I was reading how much money that Hoover spent on advertising, and then I started trying to do the math in my head, and this is where, because I have a business brain, and I was laying in bed for hours thinking about this. Now, I know a couple of years ago, a week's worth of episodes of a soap opera is generally about $1 million, the budget. Robin, did you know that?
No, I did not, Kat.
Yeah. That was a couple of years ago. I think that was the budget. I could be wrong, give or take. But there have been many cuts since I was told that number. And people have taken pay cuts 1, 2, 3 times. And budgets were cut all over the place. So I know that they've probably got that number below that. So I don't know what, because I've been trying to make sense of it in my mind. Could this happen? Could it be saved? Could this be done? And could it be profitable? See, the problem with this thinking is that I think it could have been done and could have been saved long, long ago had there not been such terrible changes made that the audience so vocally said, we don't like what you're doing. Stop doing it. We want that. We want this. And nobody listened to you. And for that, I am truly sorry. It had nothing to do with it. But just know that the actors also knew that. And we all knew that. We could all see that it was going in the horribly wrong direction. And powerless to do anything about it, as you. So I know how you feel. But that being said, gosh, you know, can we get them back? And by giving them what they want, Robin,
yeah.
What do you think?
I think I respond to this in a two-prong way. The first level that comes at me is yes, storytelling, character-based. Character-driven, allow the writers to write stories with strong beginning, middles, and ends, and, you know, don't go flying off, ricocheting, and doing a lot of revisionist writing where the history they've already invested their heart in is, you know, that does not pay a dividend. In fact, it's short-sailed and foreclosed upon. But the part that really is like me talking, tail wagging dog, is I kind of can speak firsthand that I don't think our brilliant young executive producer, Frank Valentini, was ever truly given the reins of that, you know, coach. He was dictated from across the street and told and given his restrictions, and Frank made it work and brought it in under budget. We are paid in an old-fashioned radio way per show. If you work once that week, you're paid your day rate, your show rate. If you work 5 times, it's multiplied by 5. I ask the question, if we want storytelling to survive, how many of us would be willing to re-examine that and take a weekly salary? And the great news about that might be that you'd work 3, 4, and 5 times a week, and then the cast roster could be shrunk. We're now having 38 people in the cast. We used to do a great show with 22. Isn't it a shame I have no opinions? I apologize.
No, I absolutely agree.
But I would work. For a weekly salary,
sure.
I would work close to the nubbies because I love the genre. I still have passion for the work and the storytelling, respect for the audience, and I don't want to see an entire genre die. Not while I'm still watching. You know, I really wanted to be blessed to grow into a Ruth Warwick, to grow into, you know, those he called that nice man who introduced me, Grand Dame. Does that mean ancient relic? Hell no. not if you're jet fueled, you know.
I hardly look at you as an ancient relic. I mean, your scenes with Puck Watkins prove one thing, that a mature woman is far sexier than Snooki on Jersey Shore.
Thank you. Would you write that to Chelsea Handler? She said she could barely stand to watch
it. That was
Chelsea Handler is half bulldog anyway.
Well, whatever. We won't trash her because she's not here to respond the way she. Well, I know. Excuse
me.
I had a punchline. The way she trashed me when I wasn't there to respond. But when she has my mileage and doesn't look like roadkill, I hope they pay her to kiss gorgeous guys.
Exactly.
Oh my God,
and here's really what I want to say about that, because I actually did see that because it was on someone posted it in a very angry protest of it, and I said, what is this? And I clicked into it, and I thought, you know, here's the deal. Instead of, I mean, no, I don't like being the butt of somebody's joke and either, you know, if that happened to me, but God, if that person was happy in her life, there's no way she could stand on television and ever talk about somebody like that, someone she doesn't know. That's a very sad, bitter, angry girl. And
we're all going to get older. And it's naive to think that older people don't have orgasms.
Okay.
You know, they're getting laid, too. I'm sorry.
Hello.
It takes a little more time and imagination, perhaps. But it is really ageist, sexy, and it narrows the aperture of your own vision of your future if you think you become de-sexed as you become sager, wiser, spend more time on the planet. I have spoken.
And here comes the lightning bolt.
You know, Ms. Strasser, you must know my mother, because she's 83, and she still says that she demands sex from my father once a week, and I find that absolutely disturbing.
Yeah, that is disturbing.
Okay.
We don't want to hear that from our parents.
No,
you know?
But let me ask you, lady, something, because I think Robin was in soap at the time. What I find interesting is during the 70s, soap operas made a lot of money, and all of their profits got channeled into primetime programming. There's an article in Time magazine from the 70s that spoke directly to this very topic, with Susan Seaforth Hayes and Bill Hayes on the cover of that issue. Mm-hmm. And my question is, why hasn't anyone said, hey, we supported these primetime programs all these years, now you have this cheap, quote, unscripted, unquote, programming making obscene profits. Why aren't some of those obscene profits rolled back into the soap? I don't get this. Why isn't there a reciprocity here?
I think that's very intelligent, and it would be fair, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would, because in my mind, you people in daytime who have always been marginalized for your talent basically provide corporate welfare to primetime programs.
Yeah. Good question that we don't have the answer to, but certainly one to see if we can get an answer to that. That'd be good.
But anyway, Joanne, I'm going to let you guys go because I know you've got a bunch of callers. Ladies, thank you.
Thank you, Silas.
Easter.
Thank you.
This is a time of renewal, my friends. We're going to make this work somehow or other.
Yes, I agree. And, you know, we just have to keep strong and keep going and keep the, you know, anger to a manageable and healthy place so that we don't shoot ourselves in the foot, because, you know, you just don't want to turn people off with your anger. It's easy to do. It's a fine line. We're going to talk about that tonight, too.
Well, you have a legion of fans that are united, and if we stay united, there is a lot of power among those fans, so let's do it.
Yeah.
Thanks, ladies. Have a great night.
Okay, good night, Silas.
Absolutely. I think, Kat, I was supposed to be your surprise guest. And if I'm a drop-in, I don't
want to,
you know.
No, I want you to stay.
Like,
I want you to stay. I want you to stay.
Girl,
please do. Are
you sure?
Absolutely. I want you to be here with me. I want to address the protest in Los Angeles, because a lot of people are asking about it on the board for the last 15 minutes.
I don't know about this. Tell me, what is it?
Well, the 26th, which is Monday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that right? 26th is the Monday. Is that correct?
26th is well, actually, it's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. All right.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, everyone. Tuesday is the 26th. And we, all across America, people are going to be rallying and protest. And I want it to be a classy and a peaceful protest, meaning that if we get press, that if they happen to be there, I don't want people seeing, I want people to see something passionate and not angry, if that makes any sense to you. Tuesday at 10 to 12, all across America, including Los Angeles, will be in front of Disney and in front of the studio in New York. I, of course, will be flying to Los Angeles because that's where I'm closest to. And I will be there, and I don't know how many people are coming. I hope a lot, but, you know, whoever can make it.
What time is it, Kat?
10 in
California,
morning,
and
10
in
to
New
12.
York.
New York I'm not sure about, but I'll keep my eye on the chat board here because it's scrolling in front of me, and I'll see if anybody knows that. I think it's the same time in New York, 10 to 12, but if I'm wrong, correct me on that one. Because the point of this is to make a ripple. You know, we need to make some waves, and we start with the ripple. And I think we've already done the ripple. Now we're going into the wave. But I would like for people to know that if we are going to do this, that there is a way to do it that's more positive than negative. We want people to know that it's a passionate love affair, and the reason that we're there is to make it, you know, to shine some light on that people are wanting their shows back, but they're also they want justice, you know, for what they feel they have been lied to, and they have. So I understand why everyone's so angry. I really do get it. But I hope you'll all be there. And if you're in California, oh, I hope you'll be there because I get to meet people. This is my favorite part.
Meeting people. Well, you're great at that. I mean, you guys are so generous with the fans, and Soap Actors are known for that for the most part. Everybody is very generous with their time. People in the chat room are saying Super Soap Weekend was the beginning of the end for soaps, which I agree. When they canceled Super Soap Weekend to put on Soap Nation, I knew that there was going to be an issue. I spoke with Maureen Canary, David Canary's wife, the other day, and she said they knew when they were asked to move to California, she knew that was the beginning of the end. So everybody has their take on when it was supposed to happen, but it's like everybody says, trying to revive it and see which way you could do it. Do it classy and keep your anger levels to a minimum.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We don't want to turn people off. We want to turn people on. That's the whole point
exactly.
About this.
Exactly. Speaking of, let's get another soap fan on the phone.
Okay.
Cindy from Jacksonville. Cindy from Jacksonville, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone.
Hello,
evening.
Cindy.
I want you to know my kids and my grandkids now were raised watching that show with me, and it's a fine quality enjoyment that has been like a second family to me.
Oh.
And I want you to know that I'm on the campaign to help. I'll be in Orlando protesting. I think we need to be classy because the show was classy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen.
I'm willing, as a person watching it, just like you, actors and wonderful people and everything, I pay each month to watch that show. I would rather have you than HBO or Showtime.
Oh. Well, isn't that interesting? And I wonder, you know, if there that is something that can't be examined, you know, for the future of this. Because that, you know, I have premium channels, and then I'll cancel them because I never watch them. And, you know, and I got HBO, and you know, there's nothing on there I want to see. But if there's something I want to see, I'll pay for that channel. I will, because, you know, then I can have my story or my show that I want. So there are people on the chat boards right now saying they would pay too. So, you know, this is very interesting to me.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. From a production point of view, this is very interesting. But, you know, I want to thank you for saying what you just did because I can hear in your voice that you're very sad about it. And it is kind of like a death in the family, isn't it? You know, it's very weird because we're all friends in the very odd sort of way.
Well, it's not actually more than a death, except that I'm at the age where I've lost my mother, my adopted mother, my mother-in-law.
Yeah. Mm.
And you were there.
Yeah.
Husbands don't understand. Friends, you know, they listen to you somewhat when you're crying about losing a loss.
Mm-hmm.
But when you sit there and watch you guys, and you have become friends with your TV family, and you're in our hearts, and Robin, God bless you for who you are. You are just absolutely wonderful. I would be willing to do 30-minute shows, pay
mm-hmm.
for the shows, anything, and I hope that we can work something out in this world in a peaceful manner.
There you said it. That's
Thank
exactly
you.
Right. We'll do it in a peaceful manner. And, you know, you're not alone. So many people. I've gotten hundreds of emails in the back end of my Facebook and DMs and Twitter from people that are saying the same thing you are, that these shows got them through really tough times and that they're also emotionally anchored to these shows because they watched them with their mother. They watched them with their grandmother. And so, you know, when the mother and grandmother are gone, they still feel connected to them through their soap operas. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that is a big thing I hear about. And there's many of you that share that feeling. And thank you so much for calling to say. And I couldn't agree with you more, by the way, about Ms. Strasser. She's my special girl.
Thank you, lady.
Back at you. Thank you.
Okay.
Let you know that the audience is willing to pay for you or anything else to
yes.
keep on. God
I'm
bless.
Seeing
and
that. God bless you, too.
Yes,
thanks,
indeed.
Cindy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Catherine, something that's being revealed here is perhaps in this kind of demonstration where people show up to be productive and to put a face on fan passion, that it would be impossible to ridicule or trivialize or, oh, yes, it's a soap opera, ha, ha, ha. You know, this is storytelling, yes. It has high drama with the stakes raised, but the people who watch these shows are immensely invested in them, hard. They have discernment. They could watch a lot of other things. They choose to watch their favorite program or story, and they have wallets, you know, that the network wants, you know, them to spend money on stuff. And how better to get them to focus on the dignity and the taste that our audience has than to show them, yes, these are people who choose their programming and choose their products carefully.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to create a counter-revolution and chew them and spit them out. Oops. I named the two proposed replacement shows. It's not, you know, we are not to be discarded that easily, I don't believe. And thank you for the reminder, because my anger place is not the productive place.
Yeah.
But to demonstrate with an absolutely no arguments face that we are going to make it clear we love these shows, we want to all do what we can to preserve them, make our voices heard, and there's honor in that. There just is.
Yeah, I know. I mean, a lot of people are saying I'm very brave to do this. I don't feel that way at all. I don't feel that way one bit. I feel that, if you don't stand up for what you believe and if you don't stand up for yourself, what does that make you? It makes you a victim. And how does that make you feel? Really bad. And I'm not a victim. I am a whole human being, and I can handle just about anything and have. And if I feel that I'm going to stand with these people on the street in front of that studio and it will make a difference somewhere, even a little bit, you bet I'm going to be there. I know why the other actors can't do it, and I want people to understand why they can't do it. Robin, for me, you're the brave one. You're still on the show. You know what I mean? That's crazy. I just love you because you know, you're making people feel like they're not crazy, that they're standing for something that counts.
Well, I'm a senior diva, and I have had the last 3 years the experience that you're talking about of being diminished and, like,
mm-hmm.
being the character dismantled chunk by chunk. And
yep.
that's not my point of view as a performer. I always come on and I want to hit it out of the park. Every day is opening night for me. That's my MO. But I could see the handwriting on the wall. Nobody benches Dorian. You don't put her in a holding pattern. That's just not the way it ever went. That's not the nature of the franchise, that character.
Right.
Be that as it may, I feel that putting a face on the contract players of the show, you know, I don't own any luxury stuff. I like to save money and pay off mortgages, and by the grace of God, if it's over like they say that it is, and I've burnt bridges and people have put me on a list, we will never hire her again, I'll be okay.
Yeah, me
I'll
too. Finally go that's to, how I feel as well. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll finally go to college. It's never too late to be a co-ed or whatever, you know, to live the dreams I thought, you know, well, it might be too late because I pushed them back too far, but maybe it's not too late for, you know, anything if I go for it. So,
oh, God, no. I can tell you now, come on in. The water is fine. It's fantastic. There's
come
life.
In, the water's fine.
Yeah.
I'm brave, girl.
It's
we're
true.
From Robin is a magnificent cookbook.
Oh.
I think that's what we're waiting for. I think it's time for you to step into the world of the books and get us one of your cookbooks together with all of your infamous recipes.
Okay, my infamous recipes.
Well,
okay, thank you. I'll take that
and
suggestion.
I think that you should. I think that you should jump into that pool.
Okay, wow. I just had a great idea, and I'm not going to talk about it on the air only because I need to talk to Robin about it. It's
oh,
for her.
Good.
So I'll talk to Robin about
a
that.
A powerful entrepreneurial chick like you. I can't wait to hear from
mm-hmm.
you. But
it's
yes,
a good
we are
it's
all
for you.
We are all looking into our options. You know, what's the life we're going to live after one life to live? Because,
you know,
if that's the way the cards are laid out, then we're going to, you know, deal with it realistically and sanely. However, if making a stand now is going to make the fans feel like they did their very best, it may well sustain and make it yeah, I don't even want to say what I hope the outcome will be, because really what I hope the outcome will be is that you know who says, I am a big person, and I have listened to the fans, and I made a mistake. I changed my mind. The shows will continue. Now, I know that's magical thinking, but, you know,
maybe
whatever.
Not.
We
maybe
do
not.
We do what we can do. You know,
you never know.
Well, here's
it's
the
Easter
thing
weekend.
Here's what I don't understand. This is the part for me that is just like, what? It makes no sense. I have a mind that needs to make sense of things. It's just the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
And every time something would happen that didn't make sense, I started to think, well, my God, if it doesn't make sense, then it happens. Because this is just the way it seems to go and go and go. But what would have made sense to me is if they had figured out a way to use some of the people that they have that people already love to watch. And if you can't afford to do the soaps anymore, take your wonderful stars and use them in the new genre. You know what I mean? Like, at least it would soften the blow of yanking away all of these people's beloved friends and family that they have come to know you all as. And for me, if I had been an executive in that position, I would have said, well, I hate this that I can't. First of all, I would have never let the shows tank the way they have.
Absolutely not.
I'm sorry. I'm not being arrogant. But if I know one thing, it's this genre. So do you, Hillary Smith. The three of us please. You know, it's sad to say, but between the three of us, we've got over a century of soap opera experience. And
that's not sad. Glory in it, baby.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, what I mean
it's
is,
good.
Yeah, but the point is that if I had to let those shows go as an executive, I would be thinking, mm-hmm. how can I make my audience happy, and how, and that would be simple. Geez,
yeah.
I could use, and who are the people they want to see? Not the people I want them to see, but the people they tell us
mm-hmm.
that they want to see. This focus group thing drives me around the bend. I don't understand them. I understand what they are and I understand how they work. I just understand why people use them when you can go right into the heart of Middle America and really get the truth about what people want and give it to them.
Yeah. I never understood focus groups ever. I especially don't understand them in the context of social networking. Go online. You'll find out what the audience thinks. You don't have to fly to Minnesota and pay people to sit in a room and press buttons to tell you, you know, what stories, what characters are valued. That to me is counterintuitive, if I may quote you know who. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know who.
You know who.
You know who. Well, this next caller, ladies, is Nikki from California, so let's bring her on.
Hey, Nikki.
Say hello to the ladies.
Hello. How are you guys doing tonight?
You know, we're good.
Great.
Welcome.
Good to be talking to you.
Thank you so much. Oh, my God, I'm so nervous. I don't know why.
Oh, just take a nice deep breath and know you're amongst friends.
I've met both of you guys before, so I don't know why I'm nervous, but I am. But I just wanted to say to both of you guys, I love you for everything you've been doing and being so outspoken, and I follow both of you on Twitter, and Robin, you are so funny on there.
Oh, good. Wait a minute, Nikki, did I meet you? Are you Nikki Panero?
Yes, I am.
I met you at Super Soap Weekend.
Yeah, various events.
You see,
yeah.
I remember you.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm so nervous right now. But, no, it's just like I'm so sad about mainly – I've watched both of them, but One Life is my favorite. It's near and dear to my heart, and it always has been, and it's just sad. But
yeah.
I would pay also, like everyone was saying, I would pay to watch it.
Well, you know, when we were talking about that, everyone down the board, and let's see, we've got 230 people inside the chat room right now. That doesn't mean that's how many people are listening. It means how many
right.
people are signed in and actually chatting. Now, this is a stupendous number for this venue. I want you to know it's a big number for this venue. So this radio show is doing very well tonight. But all the way down the chat room, people were saying, I'll pay, I'll pay, I'll pay, I'll pay. And wow, that's great.
Yeah, I totally would, because like a lot of my friends are like, oh, it's just a soap opera, get over it, but they don't understand it's more than just a soap opera.
It is. It
yeah.
is.
So,
you
oh
know
my
what,
sister.
Nikki, and everybody, I just happened to glance at my computer, and I have a message here from Cassie DePaiva. Later, shall I read it?
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's a quickie. All right. She'll forgive me, but I have to do it with a slight Southern accent. Hello, y'all. I've been away celebrating my 50th in Paris. We planned the trip not knowing, of course, that the bomb was going to be dropped last Thursday. As I stated before, my heart is broken by the news of OLTL and AMC's cancellation. I'm proud of what I do for a living, but I'm most proud of the fans for fighting to keep their stories on the air. Wow, there is power in numbers. I'm not ready to put Blair out to pasture yet. Are you?
Mm-hmm.
And just on another note, because of One Life, I have made so many friends that I would have never made friends with. There are so many people that I'm so close with now because of you guys.
Oh, great.
That's
so many.
Good. That's why they call us a community, because that's really what we are. We're a family. And
one of my
best
friends I made, her name's Bina, because of you guys.
I see Bina in the chat room there.
Yeah, we met over our love for Hillary and you guys and all that.
Aw. Well, Nikki, I'm sorry you're not going to be able to make it to the – I saw
no.
today that you posted
yeah.
on Facebook or Twitter that you can't
mm-hmm.
make it to –
No.
To the – and I know a lot of people aren't going to be able to make it on Tuesday because they work. But, boy, if there's any way, you know, please just – if you're listening and you're in L.A. or you're anywhere near and you can make it, I would
love
it.
Oh, yeah, I live right here.
It.
I live in L.A.
Oh, I know you do, but
yeah.
I saw your post today that you can't swap your schedule.
No.
But thank you so much for calling, and it's so good to hear your voice.
Thank you, too, and thank you, Robin, and I love you, both of you guys.
I love you back.
We love you
back.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You know, that's just got to really warm your heart to know that there are so many people that you guys touch in so many different ways, like with Silas's story. I didn't know that about him either, and I was almost brought to tears.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you just got to compose yourself. Soaps really do matter. And, Pat, you know the story on how Stardish got started, but I don't think that Robin would know. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to tell a little bit of it. In 2003, I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I was 32 years old. Now, I had been watching soaps from the time that I was a small child, but being in the hospital 7 days a week, getting chemotherapy away from my boys, and then having to go back in usually a week after the chemo was done because it trashed my immune system so badly, I was away from my kids, at least 3 weeks at a time. And in the hospital, what are you going to do? I got back into my soaps that, you know, I couldn't watch while I was working. And it just brought something back into me. And when I finally was in remission, I came across Buzzworthy Radio, which is another blog talk radio show, and thought, well, this is a great way for fans to get to know their favorite soap actors that can't get to events like me at the time because I was in a hospital. And since 3 years ago now, I've been doing this show, and I've done over 200 shows, and I've talked to just about everybody I can think of, you know, that was willing to connect with fans, and it brought me closer to the soap. You know what I mean? So everybody has their story. So I haven't done a show in a long time, but this infuriated me so much, I knew I had to bring it back to life.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. It's really great, you know, to be able to sit here with Robin and, you know, all these people in the room. And, you know, mind you, I'm trying to scroll back because this is very important, but there's a certain Facebook page that has over 4,000 members now, and I'm trying to scroll back because people are typing so fast. It's going into the
Protest
Netherlands.
ABC, I think it's Protest ABC Across America.
Yes. ProtestABCAcrossAmerica.com. And you know, if you want to know where these are taking place, that's where you go. And there's 4,000 members of that on Facebook as well. And, you know, 4,000 might not sound like a big number, but it's huge, because for those 4,000 represent many thousands.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot has been actually revealed on this show, that people would be willing to pay for their shows. But, boy, they don't want to pay for their shows like they've been getting them for the last few years, let me tell you. I'm certain of that.
Mm-hmm.
They want to pay for the shows. They want the shows that they love. It'd be nice to think that that could really make a difference somewhere, and I believe it probably can. It's very eye-opening to me to see people saying this.
What was the website name again?
ProtestABCAcrossAmerica.com.
Right.
Protest.
Yeah, because you know what? It isn't really – what is this really about? What is it really about? It's about people expressing themselves. They're angry. They've been very angry for a very long time, and they need to get that out. Number one, people are having a place to get their feelings out, sad, angry, and all that stuff. Now we get to channel that into something positive, which I think that we can do. It's, you know, it's just a matter of getting a hold of your emotions, managing your emotions, not letting them manage you, and putting it in a positive way. We're going to go ahead and we're going to keep this up, and we're just going to see what can happen. It's got to do something. It's got to do something.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's like they're saying in the chat room, one fan can make a difference, and it's about community coming together to fight for what we believe in. That's right, Judy. That's exactly what it's about.
Yeah, I'm looking at Judy, too. It's about
a
community coming together to fight for what we believe in.
You're
wow.
Fighting.
That's America right there.
You know, it is. And the thing is that we do look at you guys as family because we spend so much time with you. And even though you're not on the soaps anymore, Kat, you've become a member of our family. And it's like just because you're not in the picture on the screen no more doesn't mean that you get kicked to the curb. You're part of our family. You know what I mean? You just chose a different line of work. So we know where to go when we have a broken heart now. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, we got a good.
Or if you want to go see a really kick-ass comedy hypnosis stage show, let me tell
exactly.
you.
Exactly. You know, and then we have Robin, who we look to as the matriarch. You know, it's you guys are just awesome in that sense, and it's about fighting for your family, fighting for all the people like Needles. You know, he's got a job. You know, it's not just about the people in front of the camera. It's about the people behind the cameras as well. You know, acting is a tough business to be in alone. But when you go and cut more than, 800 jobs and at one point, where is everybody going to go? It's a small community, even though it's so big. You know, I don't think there's enough jobs for actors that they're, you know, that as many actors as there are. Does that make sense? Am I even saying that right? You know, I've seen the Writers Guild, you know, ask ABC to reconsider because of all the people that are going to be out of work now.
Right. Oh, no, this is very far-reaching stuff, no doubt about it.
You know,
Bert, I want to ask you something before we take another call because I'm sure other people want to get in. But
yeah.
And Joanne, you too. You know, I haven't been watching nighttime ABC for the last week, and let me tell you, some of that's been tough because I love my Dancing with the Stars. But
oh, yeah, I got into some trouble. I didn't know we were supposed to boycott it, and I'm so happy with my new Tweeterville first time ever, and I've done 5 days straight. I can't stop tweeting. Kat, I'm an addictive person. Whatever I like, I want more of.
Oh, I know.
I've tweeted 57 times.
That's nothing.
I have a few people. I'm up to 5,700.
Okay, here's my question, though, and also the people in the chat room.
Yes.
You know, when I look at a nighttime soap opera, when I used to love Dallas, for example, and, you know, I like Desperate Housewives, and, you know, there's a couple that really ring my bell, all right? And I think,
Dynasty.
Well, if Dynasty was awesome, but mm-hmm. Knots Landing, that was a good one too. But
mm-hmm.
you know, when I look at these shows and they're filmed, and I think, gosh, you know, our show would be this kick ass if we were filmed because of the depth that film. Or now these days we have a very high high def, you know, video that actually looks like film. Wouldn't it make sense to make One Life to Live and All My Children, of course, under a different regime, you know, that would make a killer nighttime show?
Oh, yeah. Why not?
Of course it would. I mean, people would come because they're already there. And if they're saying nobody's home in the daytime to watch soap operas.
Put us on at night.
Put it on at night.
Yeah, yeah. I really love and admire Oprah so much, and I totally went with her statement in the beginning, thank you for the honor of thinking I could save the soaps, but
yeah.
I cannot. It was when she gave us the kind of marketing analysis of why it was hopeless that my feelings deeply were hurt, and I went to the sad place.
Oh, I cried myself.
You know,
in the kitchen.
The first part, I totally get, you know, say thank you, but I cannot do it. And then stop, because when someone that big puts a nail or two more in the coffin, it doesn't help those who are hoping for a different outcome. Wisdom, yes, but despair, no.
It's, you know, remembering your spirit and you can do anything and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, you're darn right. And I know that to be a fact because I live that philosophy. So I didn't want people's hope taken away.
Me either.
Yeah.
Me either. That's usually an Oprah theme. Hello, we're doing a whole show on hope. You know, I'm sorry. That's what I want to tune into. I want to tune in, plug in, and get myself a big pint of hope.
Yeah, and guzzle it down.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I agree. So, you know, I just think that there's other ways that it could go. And, you know, those things ought to be explored, if not by
Why
that
not?
Network, by someone else, because I
Some
think...
Some smart entrepreneur will figure it out. Yes.
Yes, well, you know.
I hope so.
I do, too. By the way, are you going to the Emmys this year?
You know, I'm thinking that no matter what, I'm going to pay my own way because they'll make me pay my own way. I'll
well,
buy
you won't
my own seat.
You won't have to pay your own way because I'll have a job for you that weekend.
Oh, you cutie.
Oh. Yeah,
oh.
And you will actually get paid for that job, and you'll get paid really nicely for that job, so you should come out.
Well, I would want to because if this is the end, I think it'd be really important to put on a great-looking dress, a great-looking face, have a good attitude. One, I feel I'm representing the show and the history. And then two, I'm smiling when I say this, I got to look for my next job.
Yeah, I know. That is so funny.
You know, Robin, I wanted to ask you, yes. I'm glad you called in tonight. When ABC was doing the crossover on Castle, were you annoyed at the fact, or were you even approached to do Castle, or was it just slated for Cameron and Rebecca to be on that show, or were you ever approached? Because most fans that I've spoke to, including myself, believe that the people that should have been on that show or approached to be on Castle, opposite Nathan Fillion, should have been you, Gina, and or Blair, Cassie.
Yeah, I think probably you know who picked the people who did get on. I was
mm-hmm.
not approached, but Kat, we all love Nathan Fillion. When Nathan worked on One Life to Live, he was so young, so positive,
mm-hmm.
had respect for young and old, male, female. He was the dearest thing. He was always in touch with his parents. His dream was to help his parents buy a house. This was a great young man. And when they did not come up with the contract, the money that would perhaps, you know, have anchored him to stay, I was like, what, are you crazy? Do you know this guy's going to be a big star? Cut to, he's very proud that he was on One Life to Live. He gives
mm-hmm.
great credit to the training, the background. So he came to the studio, Kat, right? He just walked in last month, and there he was. He's such a big, gorgeous, hunk-a-hunk-a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm blushing. I fell on my knees. Then I lay down on the floor in a supine position, face down. He came over, rolled me over, and lay down on top of me and gave me a big smooch.
Oh,
I can go to heaven happy.
Oh, he is such a great guy. I can't call him a kid anymore. He's a man now, but he was
you know,
what a man.
Yeah, he was
what
mom,
a man. Yeah, contemporary yes. Humphrey Bogart. Oops, there I go.
When Robin first came on Star Dish for the first time, I surprised her with a little phone call from Nathan. Just to
and
kind
of. You are both enshrined in my heart for that. Thank you. That was so wonderful.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I was really upset over the fact that you were not put on that show. And
that
I would have
made more
it.
Sense, wouldn't it have?
It
for Robin
certainly
to be there.
Would have. It would have, and I didn't watch it because of that, because I was really angry, because we actually spoke about that while you were on the show, and it just, you know, the things that just don't make sense, I just can't be a part of, and as much as I love Nathan and love Castle, I just couldn't watch it that night, so.
Oh, well. Well, we do love Nathan, though. That's it, you know. And
no, let's face it, Castle is so popular because of Nathan.
Of Nathan.
Because of Nathan's fan following from being on One Life to Live.
Exactly.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say, about a year and a half ago, a friend of mine, who's a former castmate, who is a very entrepreneurial person, went to SoapNet to pitch a reality show. first thing that was said to him, we don't want to hear anything about soap operas or soap people. We don't want to be pitched anything. He was like, isn't this called SoapNet? So, you know, it's a mindset of, you know, you can't work for a network and be the head of something and be ashamed of it. So that's how I felt when I heard that story. You can't be in contempt of what you make. You have to love what you're making. You have to have a passion for what you're selling, or you aren't going to sell it. So that just drove me crazy. When I heard that, I was like, oh, my God.
Couldn't sell a soap show on SoapNet.
Or sell an idea that involved soap actors. And it's like, what?
Nutty.
Okay. I know. You know, we can go all the way back even to the 80s when David Hasselhoff did the pilot for Knight Rider. And I will never forget this because he came off The Young and the Restless, and that's why they hired him, because he was a huge star on The Young and the Restless. And Brandon Tartikoff, who was a brilliant programmer and executive at NBC at the time, saw him in a casino and saw all these women. It was for a television convention that was going on there, and he went there trying to sell some little show he was trying to make. And Brandon Tartikoff saw all these women walk away from their money and their slot machines to get his autograph, and he said, who is that?
Great.
And they said, oh, that's this guy from The Young and the Restless. Brandon Tartikoff went, note to self, must find his name out and cast him in pilot that we're about to make called Knight Rider. Well, that show, when it premiered, when the pilot premiered, it was the number one primetime show because of his following on the soaps. And same thing for Nathan Fillion. So please don't try to tell me that that's not something to look at. It's huge.
Absolutely. It is. And you know what? Every soap actor has the talent. And I hate class. And I don't know why I say that. I don't like classifying you as soap actors. You are actors and actresses.
We don't care.
Well, you know what it is, though? It's like everybody says, oh, it's a soap actor. No, they're actors. They're actresses. Mm-hmm. They work their asses off day after day after day and put out more material than you do in a week. It's like, really? They're actors and actresses, and great people have come from soaps. We'll go with Meg Ryan and Julianne Moore, and, I mean, look where Kelly Ripa is. And, I mean, it's just insane to me that even some of these actors and actresses that moved on don't acknowledge the fact that they came from soaps because they're ashamed of it. Well, you know what? Soaps gave you your start, and it gave you a following. We're going to follow you guys no matter where you go, and I say this to every soap actor I've talked to. As long as you guys are true to your fans will be true to you no matter where you end up. Kat,
amen.
You're doing hypnotist shows. I mean, people are flying out to Vegas to watch you perform. You know?
Well, you know what? I'm so grateful for that family that I accrued in all those years because, you know, it's not just because they'll buy what you make, and it's much deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is true, and I really right now I'm in development for a reality show based on my book, and you know, and I'm so excited because I know that I'm going to make a show that will not only heal people, but it will entertain people. And I'm also excited because I know that the people that I entertained for 27 years across the board on soap operas will be there for me. And hopefully it'll be a satisfying relationship where they'll watch something and go, wow, I really learned something from that, you know?
Right.
Mm.
I really learned something from this. That girl right there I'm watching is me, and you know, and I do those things, and I can stop doing those things, and I can have a life that I could have only dreamed about before, and it's about waking people up. And so I'm grateful for the people that watched me all those years because I know they'll be there for this show, and I will always be there for them. And so, you know, that's why for me this fight is worth fighting. And it's worth fighting because I really know who they are and I know how they feel. And I can't wait till Tuesday to meet all these new people. And, my God, Robin, do you know how long it takes to get 5,600 people on Twitter? Do you know how long it takes?
Oh, my gosh.
It took you 24 hours. That's loyal fans.
That's ridiculous.
It took me about 4 days. But, yeah, I had 2,000 right out the box.
Yeah. Because, you know what, you are one of the what as soap fans, we always craved that airtime.
Yeah.
And
the timing was everything. I have always had a hotline, a regular standard toll call that people could call in on. And the day, the dark day that news was announced, fans crashed the hotline, knocked out my phone and 100 others. The company has said, sorry, we can't have your business. And 4 other companies today said, sorry, it's too large of a volume and we're afraid it will even get bigger. And I took that when I hung up as the good news because may it grow bigger. And, you know, if we find other ways to talk to each other, so be it. A sideboard, because you and I both love her cat. It's Doris Day's birthday today.
I love Doris Day. You know, I'll tell you, I must meet Doris Day before she gives up her human suit because she's getting up there and she's not well. And, you know, I just really wanted to meet her.
Honey, she turned 88 today. Maybe everybody could send her a nice card or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
She's the bomb. She works for Anna. She's led such a life, does service, everything. It's just marvelous. So it's her birthday, and you and I are talking. There are no accidents.
And I have to tell you, I mean, even now, I mean, right down the hall from where I am sitting right now is the most amazing actress in the world, but more amazing human being named Debbie Reynolds. She's right down the hall in her bedroom, and it's every time she walks into the room to talk to me about something, I have to remember... I put my fan away because this is, you know, a woman in my life now. And, you know, and I can't tell you what – you want to talk about a survivor? You want to talk about a thriver?
Oh,
you want
brilliant.
To talk about a person that just, you know, has overcome every horrible obstacle that could be thrown at you? It's Debbie Reynolds. She's my hero.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
so,
an amazing collection of memorabilia that I saw that she was just going to be auctioning off.
Mm-hmm.
Hollywood,
it's going to be June 18th, that auction. It's you know, it's during the Emmys, so
okay.
So I'm going to be in with them in Los Angeles. I won't be there, but Robin, I have a job for you. It's going to be
okay. We'll talk,
girlfriend. Yeah, but in any event, should we have time to take any more calls?
We
know people
are. Say we have 12 minutes left, so let me grab a couple
yeah.
of people that have been patient. I mean, there's like more than 70 people on hold, so. I'm just going to go right down the line. We have here Debbie from Central New York. Debbie, welcome to the show. Hello, Debbie.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes. We can hear you, Debbie.
I am, like, so in awe that I'm on the phone with you, Kat, and you, Robin.
Oh.
I have watched these shows since I was probably 8 years old.
Oh, well, thank you. We're fossilating before your very ears.
I just have to make a couple of real quick comments that I will hopefully make you laugh.
Okay.
But I think that Mr. You-Know-Who's statement that the 18 to 49 age group no longer want to see these shows is such bull crap.
Yep.
He's not asking the people. We are watching the shows on DVR. We are watching them online. I watch every single day the shows from the day before. Online as I'm working. We are still using VCRs. We are watching them on SoapNet. He's not listening that we are his fan, the fans of the show. We are the consumers who are in the age group where we can spend money on the products they're advertising.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that one household should represent 10,000 in the Nielsen ratings.
Yeah, it's too bad that that is the most antiquated, it is so inaccurate, and there's yet not another rating system, you know, in place. but it doesn't even cover college campuses or, you know, like massive amounts of people that are watching soap operas.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's why so many fans are upset, is because they're taking it as if, you know, it's a lie.
Right.
But he's making this up and saying that we want reality shows, which we don't want.
Right. But, you know, we have to also look to, you know, that they are looking at the advertising dollars, because that's the advertising dollars are spent based on those numbers, how many eyeballs are on the television. That's how advertisers are, that's how the price of advertising is set. That's how advertisers decide where their money is going to be spent. So that's why it's such a shame, because the Nielsen numbers are reflecting inaccurate numbers, and the advertising dollars are spent, hence, you know, based on those numbers. And as the advertising dollars dwindle, then, of course, the business decisions have to be made. But how accurate really are they? You know, and that's what the bottom line is. So
right.
I find it this. I'm still stuck on this. People would pay to watch their shows. I'm loving this.
Definitely. A premium channel would be amazing.
A premium channel for shows that are made for the people and what they want. How many times have I got to say it? Not what they are told that they want to watch.
Right. The People's Network.
The People's Network. Well, you know, Todd was telling me when this whole, you know, right before this whole thing broke, I was venting, and God bless my Todd. He, you know, lets me vent and doesn't ever say, oh, God, give it up. You know, he lets me go. And we were talking, and he said, you know, it seems to me that it would be interesting if the actors did what Mary Pickford did back in the, what was that, the 30s? Yeah. Mary Pickford created United Artists. And the actors and were, you know, fed up with the way things were done, and they created United Artists, which was paid for by the actors, and then, you know, of course, the moviegoers and this and that, but they created their own company. And I love that concept of that. So we were tossing that idea around in the car, and this is 2 weeks before this whole thing blew up. And we were thinking, you know, well, if they're not going to make the shows but the people want to watch, you know, then maybe there's another way to go about this. So I think we should not go quietly into that good night. I want to make that clear to everybody that's listening.
Can I just mention for people that you mentioned about the protests and the website?
Yeah.
There's also the Facebook group Protest Across America on Facebook. We have 4,117 members at this moment.
Oh, that's good. Let people know how they can, let them know the exact name of that Facebook page.
Just go to, if you go to protestacrossamerica.com, there is a link right at the top that says follow us on Facebook.
And do not forget, Save the Soaps, all one word, Save the Soaps, at hoover.com.
That's right.
They have the head of marketing hearing that you-know-who said he would delete all emails, promised to personally deliver all emails to ABC. So consider Save the Soaps.
Yeah.
Save the Soaps at hoover.com.
I think it's Save Our Soaps.
No, it's
there
not
you
Save
go.
Our Soaps. It's the. I know. One of the movements is called Save Our, but this one is Save the Soaps at hoover.com. Because I have a laptop, I Googled. We love Google. United Artists was started in 1919 by D.W. Griffith, Charlie Chaplin, Mary Pickford, and Douglas Fairbanks.
Robin.
They were major. D.W. Griffith was the biggest director. Charlie Chaplin was in the stratosphere as a star.
Yeah.
And Mary Pickford, Douglas Fairbanks.
Robin, you're so smart.
I'm not. I have a laptop. You know, we can be sort of smart, and we Google.
That's
we
right.
Google.
You could win Who Wants to Be a Millionaire
with that
combination.
Well, with that, but you know, old movies are my thing. You can call me because my filmography is all from the 20s, 30s, and 40s.
Oh, also, There's two things. I need protesters in Orlando. She's saying, "Oh, I got it. It's moving so fast. This board.
There's so many people in there. It's ridiculous."
I can't find it now. Oh, no, I really want to help her. This is too much. Everybody, go to Twitter and Facebook. Go to these places that we're talking about, because these people can now post these things there. Also, I want to say that in New York City, it is from 10 to 1. Anytime between 10 in the morning and 1 o'clock in the afternoon in front of the ABC studios, which is down at the Hudson River. Is that the one they're doing, down where the View and All My Children is?
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that one was at 77. So do check on your computers to make sure where
you're
going, right?
Okay, so if they're going to 77...
That's corporate.
That's corporate.
320 puts them across from the View and One Life to Live.
Right.
So everyone needs to get really organized now. You know, over the weekend, relax. Everybody take your Easter and relax.
And Kat, maybe a nice outfit, you know, so, because they're going to be photographed. And
right. And so
be ready for your close-up fans.
Yeah, it could very well be that there will be camera crews, though I doubt they won't. They'll be from ABC. I think there will be
camera
crews.
Well, so, I doubt them, but yeah. There have been, it's been covered in the press from CNN to The Insider, and it's all over the place. So be prepared to be on camera, be classy, be neat, you know.
And watch your language, everybody.
Absolutely.
Make your intelligent protests in sound bites.
You know, we're not trying to hurt people. We are trying to make something happen in a positive way,
and save 800 jobs in the process. If they were closing down a factory in Detroit or anywhere in this country that employed 800 people, it would be treated with some gravitas. So we get to have the shows sustained. That's our dream. There are a lot of jobs. This is not the economy to kill jobs. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Well,
and
I have to ask you two ladies, did you get the pictures that I Twittered to you of your soap scenes?
No.
Soap scenes?
Yeah, I made up little...
I didn't.
I'll email them to you. This way I know you get them. Because they're these cute little soap shirts that I designed, and they're cartoon soap characters. So it's more of a what would Dorian Moore do? What would Lindsay Rappaport do? You'll like them.
I love that. I'll look at that.
Yeah, I'll have to email them just to make sure you get them. But we got like less than 3 minutes left.
Okay.
So why don't we
are less than 3 minutes, and I just want to thank you for your call in and let everybody know. And Debbie Reynolds is now walking through the door. Hold on, she wants to say hi.
Okay.
Hi, on the radio live. You know, this child is a child of mine. You're calling me, and here we were. Just visiting together. Hello.
Debbie.
Should I sing Tammy?
Yes, please.
No, I'm just kidding, but no, are you just stunned or are you just what?
Debbie, I don't even know what to say. I'm in awe right
now. Okay, well
now,
hi. My name is actually Debbie, and I'm actually going to sing to you.
Oh.
I hear the cottonwoods whispering above Tammy. Tammy, Tammy's in love. Is that okay?
Debbie, you are awesome.
It's gorgeous.
Unbelievably gorgeous.
Well, we
awesome.
Hate to interrupt your program. It's just that I was coming in to speak to my son, who happens to adore the woman you're speaking with.
Oh. Well,
so do I. And what are we going to do now? You want me to sing something else?
We're honored by your presence, I'll tell you that.
What
Robin,
do you say?
I'm like shocked.
No, the most fun in radio. Radio is live. Live means you just cook with it.
Okay, well now I can get Debbie Reynolds to say, this is Debbie Reynolds live on Stardish.
The last word?
Please.
A
say
dish.
The last word.
D-I-S-H.
Stardish.
Dish.
D-I-S-H.
Stardish.
This is Debbie Reynolds talking to you on, but you didn't say it clear enough because I'm in the country.
Oh, okay. This is Debbie Reynolds.
Stardish. Oh, Stardish. First of all, it's Stardust is everything. So here we are. Here we are. Stardust is the moment. Here we are. Dish it up. Here we are. Want to have a breakfast? Oh, yes. Stardust is the star. Wow.
Heavy
round. Okay, baby. Bye now. Woo! Here's your real girl. Here's your real star. Here you are. All right. So let
good
someone
Lord,
else's radio show do win. That.
We're not worthy. We're not worthy.
Good
Lord, my girl, my girl, my girl. I am just, like, so lucky tonight. You have no idea that I am so happy that tonight was my first show back on the air. It could not have been better with my girl Kat and Robin. Oh, my God, and Debbie Reynolds. For crying
yes.
out loud, I want to cry.
I know. She's
okay.
Awesome.
I'm getting tissues myself.
Robin, are you okay?
Okay. Listen to me, ladies. I have a proposition for you. I want to give this another week or so to settle down and see where we are, and I want to invite you both back because
okay.
there are so many people that we did not get to. And, you know, Robin, the first time you came on, it was all about taking calls and listening to those fans. Now I think it's more important for them to get it across even more how much they love you. And Kat,
okay.
you too. So promise me you'll both come back.
We
if you
will
want us, we'll be there.
Back. Yeah.
All right. Well, ladies, gentlemen, everybody in the chat room, I thank you all for coming. There's 276 users in the chat room right now with more than, I don't even know how many live listeners right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's
and,
pretty out there. I'm loving it.
Yeah.
And I just love that Debbie did that. My God.
I do.
That's awesome.
Oh, my gosh. It's ridiculous. I'm in awe right now. My father's not going to believe it.
and Robin, you email me because I don't have your phone number. So email me
okay,
so we can
beauty.
Talk for a few
I
minutes.
I will.
Okay.
I'm going to
yep.
email both
I don't
of
know
you.
If anybody can still hear us, but I just want to tell everybody that this is just the most blessed, blessed night and just magical and you're all incredible people and I love you so much from my heart and my soul and you just. Keep on keeping on. That's all I can say. It's not a waste of time. It's fighting for what you love, and love is what makes the world go round. So I just want to say goodnight to everybody, and to Joanne, thanks for having me, and Robin, thanks for co-hosting with us, and I just am absolutely near tears right now.
Oh, ladies, I love you guys so much, and
thank
I really
you.
Appreciate you coming on my first show back. It means the world.
Nobody could say it better, and thank you, Kat.
Okay.
Bye.
Everyone, have a blessed weekend. Enjoy
thanks.
Your Easter.
Yeah.
Next Tuesday, I believe Eileen Kristen will be joining me, so stay tuned on the Facebook page and Twitter, Stardust Live, and we'll definitely get you up to date on who's going to be the next guest. Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Oh, my.